Welcome to the final episode of the sixth season, 2F16, better known as Who Shot Mr. Burns, Part 1, a classic episode that aired May 21st, 1995, right there in Sweeps. This is Dave Merkin, the exec producer and showrunner.
Bill Oakley, one of the writers.
Josh Weinstein, the other writer.
And Jeffrey Lynch, the animation director.
This was a huge show for us. It did very, very well. It was a very big deal because, well, first of all, the idea is something that appealed to everybody, and we built a contest around it, which we'll tell you about, that really went crazy well, I guess. We'll see. We'll tell you about that. But let's talk about where the idea came from.
We were looking for something for the annual story retreat, and Matt walked into our office with a long list of suggestions.
That's one, Matt Groening.
Matt Groening. One of which was, let's do some publicity stunt like Who Shot Mr. Burns? And we're like, hey, that's a good idea. Let's write it down and take credit for it. And apparently, up till this minute,
I had not known that was Matt's idea originally. Yeah, I always thought that because I first heard it from Bill and Josh, and I said, hey, that's a great idea.
I'm sure he must have said Matt's idea
helped. Matt contributed.
It might have come out. I don't remember that. You said something very softly. I can't remember. But and I think we got the idea very quickly to do it as a two-parter, you know. And that was the first time we've ever done a two-parter on The Simpsons. And it was a very big deal. And we worked, I think, as hard on this episode as anyone that we ever did work on. Because we really wanted to make this mystery, particularly because we were thinking of doing it as a contest, something that was solvable if you were smart, if you paid attention, and if you used freeze frame technology. I think you needed to be able to freeze frame stuff. We knew that people on the internet would freeze frame things and look at certain jokes that the only way you could read that. We wanted to take advantage of that and the people that thought like that. And to really put together, you know, in addition to all the great comedy, this, of course, based on those commercials.
Federal Express commercials from that era. I'm going to point out every clue that I can see. I might have to interrupt. But everything about this revolves around...
There's a clue.
Every clock you'll see is at around 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock. The whole point of the clocks is to teach you to see the clock at the end, the sundial, upside down. I think that's why every clock is at a certain... I can't remember which one it was, 9 or 3, but that's one thing we did. Also, everyone... You'll see that everyone has the initials WS or M&S or S&M or something like that, which W and M are the same letter upside down. That's what I'll say about it now.
Which, by the way, was something we discovered. You know, we went into this show knowing who did it, you know, knowing who we wanted to have be the shooter, who we're not going to tell you in this DVD, by the way. You're going to have to get the next Simpsons DVD, the seventh season, to see Mr. Burns Part 2. And there we will tell you and talk about who actually did it. But here we're going to give you all the clues to drive you crazy, because obviously nobody watching this has any idea who actually shot Mr. Burns. Now, obviously you all know, but we're still not going to tell you, just to be kind of annoying. But it was very important to design a mystery that worked without comedy, that was seriously had the clues, seriously also misled you into thinking it really is structured very clearly around one character who we tried to make the guy that most people would think was the one who did it and would be kind of a surprise that that's the one who did it. But it was going to be a trick. It wasn't actually going to be the one if you really looked at the clues. And I got to see through the contest the ones that people picked, and it worked out perfectly. That character was the one that most everybody picked. And the other character that actually did it, very, 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 very few people got. And actually, in a way, nobody got it, but actually someone did.
One guy on the internet got it only an hour after the show aired, and we've never been able to find him. We were going to send him a prize.
That I was.
That was the early days of the internet, too.
The early days of the internet. It was somebody in college who posted, you know, on the Simpsons.
Alt TV Simpsons.
Yes, the Alt TV boards. What are those called? We hardly.
Usenet. They used to be called Usenet. I think they still are.
Usenet.
up the budget. I believe he had to post Fruit of Pentagon.
You had to have ARPANET clearance to be working on high tech.
We used to check the internet very, very early on, and there was this group that talked about The Simpsons, AllSimpsons.com. And this guy, he was a college address. He got it right. He got it right for the right reasons. He recognized the clues, and he figured it out. He was the only one in all of the internet that was posting on The Simpsons that figured it out. I was legally barred from contacting him because the way you had to enter the contest was a series of other things that you had to do. You couldn't just post it on the internet. You had to contact us and write us and give us the reasons. But he actually got it right. So I was going to send him some sort of a prize at the end of the summer when the actual answer was going to come out in September. But by that time, his email address wasn't good anymore. And we've actually tried to track him down again now 10 years later and still have not been able to find the person, the first person in the United States to actually get it right. But that wasn't what the contest was. The contest, you didn't have to be the first. You just had to get it right and then get picked and all that.
Maybe he'll contact you if once this comes out.
Maybe he'll hear it and contact us. Or maybe 120,000 people will contact us claiming to be
that person.
Exactly.
And I worked on this scene by scene, and I did not know the answer. I was not told, and it was actually useful to me. And when I first started working on putting the boards together, I assumed I would figure it out.
W. Seymour Skinner. Sorry to interrupt. That's the first clue.
Oh,
what was it? Skinner's first initial is W. We never knew that before. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say that that I actually sort of assumed that in working on it, I would figure it out. And I, after sort of saying, picking everyone once, I went, this is ridiculous. I have no idea. I'm just going to proceed and sort of enjoy the fact that I don't know.
So you never even had a guess at the end, Jeff? This is Jeff, the director, is talking, but yeah.
Well, I sort of at any one point would guess one character and then the other. I was being led just as well as anyone else. And then, of course, I knew, too, that I was supposed to be led. So then you start second-guessing, well, maybe I'm just supposed to think that. Pretty soon I'm going, forget it. I'm never going to figure it out. I'm just going to wait. I guess they probably
want to be with their friends. We definitely structured it so that you would be led to one specific character, and as I said, the majority of the people did pick that character, even though we made sure that so many people were suspects, and almost everybody virtually. I can safely say that in this episode, and I think it still goes, this was the worst Burns ever.
I would agree.
I think he's the most evil that he's ever been in. You know,
Smithers can't stand it.
Yeah, Smithers quits.
It'll be a monument to futility when my plan comes to fruition.
Sir, what I'm about to say violates every sycophantic urge in my body, but I wish you would read it.
Now, Jace, I think, was the idea, being the Texas guy he is, was that slant drilling brought up the
which
idea.
Which is an accurate
thing,
correct?
So Jace Ritchell had idea of the slant drilling, which is actually happened.
Let's try it right now.
There's some candy right here, sir. Why don't we eat this instead of stealing?
Oh, very well.
Now, we see that Mr. Burns does know the name of every other person in the Simpson family, including the dog, which he calls the Simpson Mutt.
Oh, and there's that Simpson Mutt.
There you go. That's another S-M. Maggie Simpson is a M-S. Marge Simpson is an M-S.
So there's lots and lots of M-S's, and it really worked out. It worked out for us great that M-S.
W's as well.
And W-S. Work together when they're upside down. They become each other. And that was something we discovered and made great, great use of. And it was a good kind of lucky thing.
I remember that moment in a rewrite room when someone realized that.
It was so exciting. It was one of the most exciting moments. Who said, this is a great clue, that it's not just a matter of knowing these letters, but also understanding their orientation. And that changes the meaning of the letters. And that was kind of the brilliance of this piece.
That's how you, by the way, you can eliminate some of the suspects. That's part of the puzzle, is that the suspects would only have those initials. That's how Homer, well, if he didn't do it, could be eliminated.
There's a very weird moment there where Skinner looks like he's handing the mic to Lisa to say something, and she just throws the switch. And it's odd for the cartoon character to make that error, but yeah,
it's really realistic.
Yeah, it was very realistic. There you go, the slant drilling.
Soon that mighty apparatus will burst forth with its precious fluid.
One of the things that I like about this episode is it doesn't get directly into anything. It's a series of things, and we basically have a really interesting, fun story about the school striking oil to begin with, and then it evolves into this Mr. Burns situation that just keeps getting worse and worse. And, you know, again, it's kind of set up the hatred for Mr. Burns, which is the whole point of this episode.
Every single person
is
has a motivation, has a serious motive.
And it is serious. I mean, look at this. It's very different than what we normally do. The dog is actually injured and stuck.
Right, and there's no joke at the end of the scene.
No, it's very upsetting.
Just see Bart fall over. Now, some of those clocks are not 9 and 3. Please ignore those.
We had to throw people off with some clocks.
Meantime, he'll have to use the wheelabout.
I'll get even with whoever did this to you, boy. I swear.
So, as Jeff was also saying as he was directing this, people assumed that because he was directing the first part, that he actually knew who it was. And so they bothered him endlessly.
Yeah. Everyone was after me. And I was honestly saying, look, I really don't know. And everyone just assumed I was lying. And people who were really close to me, who I normally would be able to confide in, got really angry with me. They think, oh, well, you know, okay, be that way about it.
And actually, I had the idea, you know, we all talk about trying to get the wrong information out about who shot Mr. Burns. Because when we started to talk to the press about it, that we were doing this episode, they were very interested. And I thought, well, this is a great thing that, you know, people are always busting shows to do this and leaking the information, and it gets out one way or the other. So I figured that we could help that and maybe get some wrong information out there. So very quickly, I wrote these terrible endings super fast, and then went in with just Harry, because Harry plays Mr. Burns and Smithers, and these, and we could just do it with one actor, have these multiple endings that were phony. And the idea was to do those to fool the animators, to fool people that are working on the show. Go ahead.
There's Pardon My Zinger weekdays at 3 p.m. Important time, and it's on Comedy Central. See, they're watching Mystery Science Theater. That's another important clue. Also,
this
Moe's
also
Liquor
was a, this also was a time when you could actually say that Comedy Central had a lot of really sucky shows on.
That's
and,
right.
It's not the case anymore. So that's it's actually a reference that doesn't. It's not as accurate as it once was. It's got some sucky shows, but it also has a lot of great shows on it.
Moe Zislak. That was the first appearance of that last name for Moe, and we got it out of the phone book. We needed an S.
Zislak came out of the phone book. And, yeah, so that gave us, you know, again, those magic initials, the MS, which also works as something else when you turn it upside down.
Earthquake!
But we made these phony endings, and then something happened that never happens in Hollywood history. I made various calls saying, you know, pretending to be a sleazebag. Well, not really pretending. But that I was trying to sell or at least get out the Simpsons ending. That we had some stuff, and if you get this, you can give it to the press, or the press could put this on, or Entertainment Tonight could put it on, or something like that. And everybody turned me down, saying, we wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be moral. It was the most amazing. Just when I needed Hollywood to be
that was
evil.
That brief week in Hollywood where people were honest.
Where everybody was nice. Yeah. So we were unable to successfully leak the phony endings, which you'll probably see on the DVD season 7. Another plug for the DVD season 7.
They also appear in what was called the 138th episode spectacular, all the animated endings.
That's right. That's right. They do. Yes.
Running all day long.
But sir, every plant and tree will die. Owls will deafen us with incessant hooting. The town sundial will be useless.
Sundial, there it is. And you'll see I don't want any its location and orientation there.
Very important, the town sundial. And that's very very much the Goldfinger sequence when all that stuff came up and the sun got blocked out.
No. No, Monty, I won't. Not until you step back from the brink of insanity.
I'll do no such thing. You're fired.
This was great. Great fun to work on. There's so many characters, so much going on, so much drama, that it's like the filmmaking possibilities were just extraordinary.
It really is wonderfully directed visually, Jeff. It really is.
Oh, thank you. Yes. It was such a pleasure to storyboard this, and it was like a cornucopia. Burns needs some
And the actors were thrilled doing this episode, because it was a real tour de force for Harry, because it is one of the most dramatic altercations with Smithers and Burns. But everybody had lots and lots of anger and lots of passion in character, not actually.
Right, that's why Marge said that Mr. Burns was being selfish and inconsiderate. That was as mean as she got.
You've never seen Marge that angry.
Smithers, who is that lollygagger? Who is that blubberputt? Who is that?
This was the apex of the American Thesaurus of Slang, where they had all the Robert L. Chapman, we owe you for all the times you gave us Grandpa and Burns words.
Bill and Josh love writing old people sayings and words.
Yes. Thunderpate, lollygagger, things of that nature.
So, and brought them back into the lexicon of modern speech, by the way.
There's a big market for those. Did you know that?
It's huge. Once this episode aired, people were using lollygagger all the time.
Oh, there's
great shot, Jeff. That's very nice.
That actually, there's a wacky story. It's a very difficult shot. It had to be hand-drawn because it predated the computer camera turnaround. And I couldn't give it to anyone on the team because there was too much to do. So the show shipped, and I still had this scene. And I had to get on a flight to Buenos Aires. And there I was in an apartment in Buenos Aires, finishing the scene and then shipping it off to Korea.
The old Smith & Wesson. If you're going to play with it, be careful, because it's loaded.
Ah! Bart, put that down! Guns are very dangerous, and I won't have them in this house.
How can you have a house without a gun? What if a bear came through the door?
I'm going to bury it in the yard where little hands can't get to it.
You should have fired into the air! She would have run off!
Smith & Wesson was also a clue.
Right, Smith & Wesson was another clue. You're right, S&W. There's a lot of different guns in this, and they all belong to different people, which you're going to see in this upcoming shot. And that's how you link, because you link all the guns to their owners. There, there.
And also notice the silence.
Just know from the colors on the shirts what who those would be.
Therefore, I will. And that was always the theory, was to just load up on more suspects than you could ever.
This town hall meeting set chance to really get the crazy suspects to.
This was so much fun with Smithers.
Smithers watches
sliding.
Not that bad. I mean, I never miss, pardon my zinger.
Burns cost me my groundskeeping job at the school, and I'm too superstitious to take the one at the cemetery.
Because of him, I lost my room, my things, and my buddy's collection of old sunbathing magazines.
You bastard.
I lost my bar.
I lost his bar.
You can see the guns right there with the people.
Everybody's got a gun.
Security.
He robbed the school of Tito.
By the way, Tito Puente, Matt Groening, a huge fan of Tito, as we all are, but it was particularly exciting for Matt to have Tito in this show, and Tito did a great job, and was just lovely to work with.
Oh, those wheels are squeaking a bit.
I love the way that, knowing that the whole town basically wants him dead, he still has the guts to show up and taunt them further. I mean, it really is the meanest, most fearless Burns we've ever seen as well. Because he's usually quite a bit of a coward, but he's just so feeling his oats in this episode.
It gave opportunities for staging for this section here with Burns that you don't normally get for that very reason.
Sideshow all the hatred SNM, but he has a knife.
Eternal machinations of hell's grim tide.
I love that line as a clue, and I love it as just an insane line that someone would, I'd like to hear from.
The point is that there is a way to mathematically eliminate every suspect except the right one. It's kind of like a game of Clue, the way this was constructed.
Very well. One last question. Have you ever seen the sun set at 3 p.m.?
It's 3 p.m.
Once, when I was sailing round the Arctic.
Shut up, you. Take one last look at the sun, Springfield.
This all scientifically accurate, studied very carefully by us and the team of scientists that work on The Simpsons to make sure that this piece of equipment could actually exist and cause this kind of permanent twilight that would require light.
It almost became Who Ran Over Mr. Burns. Right there.
That would have been a great ending. If we just were going to do one, a part one only. That
and it's crusty.
It's crusty. It's all over. Congratulations, everyone. Have a good summer.
Eternal darkness. Well, that's just great.
I love that one.
There goes Smithers. That's his just head is rotating off into the other direction.
Gun toting low life when you need one.
Sorry, I was in the camp.
He's got a gun. It's a different kind.
perpetual twilight, bathed in the...
And whenever someone's about to get shot, you pretty much want to do a Simon and Garfunkel parody right there.
I've come to watch your power flow in.
That's odd. Mr. Smithers left his jacket behind.
This whole thing was so ballsy at Burns, I actually liked him for the first time.
Where is Smithers?
Principal Skinner left his mother behind.
Where is Principal Skinner? Very, very good atmosphere here, what we did with the sound, keeping it really kind of eerily quiet. And Jeff drew these great long shadows and just awesome. Cool lighting.
That's
a little bit of
Grandpa's
wind there.
Missing.
See that the gun is gone.
This is a labor of love.
All these years, things are finally starting to go my way. I feel like celebrating.
Of course, we set up a clue about this early on when he's looking out the window. And he sees something and he talks to Smithers about it being a good idea. That was another major clue.
Get your hands off.
Now, we were going to actually show Mr. Burns struggling with this purse and everything, but Jeff was just too lazy to animate.
I was on the wall.
I'm tired now. I've done so much.
Burns' jacket's going to fly open, and one of the last important clues will be...
Very important.
Right there.
See that?
Okay, now, he's collapsed on the sundial, and his hands are at certain positions on the clock, which should lead you to look at the sundial upside down, rather than south and west.
Very important clue. And then when his jacket... And these are basically freeze-frame jokes, because we didn't hold on them at all. When his jacket flaps open, there's no gun there. Very important. And then freeze-framing on the sundial, very, very important. Obviously, you all know the answer, but these are the clues.
Right, and some of the people are there. Obviously, the people who are there are unlikely to be the culprits.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I mean, it's my job, right?
That was our little homage to the contest, which will tell you what happened to the contest. It's a cliffhanger, kids. Come back next season with your Simpsons season 7 DVD.
Absolutely. This was another great Simpsons ending, and it was not a parody of Terminator or the Terminator 2 music, as been said on the internet for years. It is a parody of the theme from JFK.
JFK, that's right. Oliver Stone's JFK, that's where this music's from, in a way. In a legally clear, right, homage-y way.
Exactly.
So hopefully you saw some clues you didn't see before, and though you probably know the ending, but now you know how we got there and what we went through to get there. As I said, it was almost the hardest, or as hard as we ever worked on anything, and it worked out perfectly because just the right amount of people got it right, which was very, very few.